Hey, Go Church family, welcome back to our week one episode of Miraculous Provision. My name is Gilbert and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hey, everyone.
We're glad to be back. We're glad to get into this today.
I am very much enjoying this series and very much enjoying this study. I hope you are. And I would encourage you, open your Bible, follow along with us, and then really come to the Grow Groups ready to dig into the discussion. Because these things are necessary for the things that the Lord is leading us into.
Yeah.
And we want us all to be well equipped.
That's right. You said open your Bibles, I'll add open your hearts. And
yes.
We'll go through that today, and we'll talk about why it's important that we open up our hearts. But before I do that, just want to remind everyone that this is week one out of week three of our series. This series is called Miraculous Provision. And this episode is what we're going to be discussing this week during our Grow Groups. Grow Groups are happening not only one day or in one place, but they're happening everywhere across the country.
And I'll say this, you don't always get to see Gilbert on camera much. In fact, he had to fight Aaliyah for the chair today. We're so thankful for Aaliyah. He does such a great job.
That's right.
But even though you don't see Gilbert on camera, Gilbert helps me craft these messages and the podcast notes and is so invested in building out the Grow Group lessons before we actually prepare Grow Group notes. Gilbert brings his supply. And so I'm very thankful to you for the study, the intensity in love for the Word of God that you put on paper, and then the structure, because not everyone is gifted that way, and your ability to see structure and then to lay things out very well, it's a big help to me.
Praise God. I'll say that I do this out of selfishness because I get to enjoy the Word of God that is operating in Go Church, and when I do this, I get to be the first one to experience and receive the revelation of what the Lord is saying to us as a church.
Yeah,
because it's
cooks,
not...
Cooks get to taste.
That's right. That's right. And I call this front row seat revelation because I get so much. And that's why sometimes our podcasts are a bit longer than we expect them to be because, you know, there's so much here. And, you know, it's not that we can go through all of this and in 1 hour or a month. This is something that, you know, we pick up on, and then we allow the Lord to build on the inside of us as we start walking.
And we try to keep these under 3 hours. So far we're doing that's
right.
But we'll jump in here.
Yes.
And we're talking today about purpose, the purpose of miraculous provision. And let's just begin with the purpose of the series.
Yes.
Can you read that?
Absolutely. So we want the entire Go Church family to receive a revelation of God as our source. His will for our lives is complete provision for ourselves, as well as for the purpose that he has for us. God is our provider, but we can start from where we are with what is already in our hands. The Lord wants us to experience a greater degree of supernatural increase as we learn to connect his desires to our actions.
The phrase there, we want everyone to see God as our source.
Yes.
That's not something I want to just skip over, because if I believe that, if I see God as my source, then I'll never put pressure on you.
That's right.
If I'm putting pressure on a person, then I don't treat him, I don't see him as my source, because God is not limited by anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he can provide in ways that I can't imagine. Our key scripture is Genesis 22. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac on the mountain of sacrifice.
Yes.
And if you stopped and said, how is the Lord going to provide the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Abraham, how is he going to do it? I don't know. And without knowing all the details, on the other side of the mountain, a ram is just doing ram things, finding its way to the top, and then its head gets stuck in a bush. A ram is generally pro at being a ram. You know, let's try it. You don't often find this. This is an unusual thing. And I think the answer to that is an angel of the Lord that is working on assignment for the word of the Lord, because that's what the Bible says in Psalms, that the angels respond to the word of the Lord, stuck that ram's head in that thicket and said, "You stay here. We got something for you to do."
Yes.
The Lord can provide in a way you can't imagine.
Yes.
But it starts with me seeing him as my source. And if he's my source, then I put no pressure on people.
That's right. And we talked about this last week. We introduced the character, the nature of God, and what Abraham had as a revelation of who God was. And Abraham called him, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. We can also see that as in translation as the Lord who sees ahead. So sees ahead of what? Sees ahead of me, right? Yes. He sees ahead of me and the things that I'm going to need.
Sees ahead of the need.
That's right. And I've been in many situations where I didn't know that I had that need. But as soon as I got there and I realized I had the need, I also realized that there was an unexpected channel through which provision came. And I could just be like, "Oh, I'm lucky," or, "Oh yeah, I'm glad that I thought about this for a rainy day." But the truth is, the Lord saw ahead. The Lord saw ahead of my need. And so in getting into our series, in the subject this week, which is provision through purpose, I want to ask this question: who is actually defining my needs?
That's a good question.
Silence.
I know. I mean, think through that. Don't let that go by, because Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that the world, the Gentiles, seek after essentially what is perishing.
Yes.
What am I going to eat? As soon as I eat, it's gone. What am I going to drink? As soon as I drink it, it's gone. What am I going to put on? As soon as I get it, it's not new anymore. You know, you buy a brand new shirt, wear it for a little bit. This doesn't smell new anymore. The Gentiles will seek after that which is perishing. Who is saying what my needs are? And this is where the discussion of purpose really comes to a point. What direction am I aiming? What is my goal?
Yeah.
And to relate this back to the story of Abraham and Isaac climbing this mountain, which hill am I climbing? Because
that's really good.
Yeah. If I'm not climbing the hill the Lord told me to, my provision is there. It's not on the one that I choose.
Like when Abraham told Isaac, "There."
There the Lord will provide.
There the Lord will provide.
Which we'll talk about next week. But in terms of purpose,
yeah,
getting and staying in God's purpose helps us define our needs. Pastor Matt Beamer says it this way, and this is a great life lesson to just adopt. The things that you say yes to help you say no to other things.
That's right.
And when you say no to something, you make space to say yes to something else.
That's right. And so just looking at this, you mentioned Matthew chapter 6, mm-hmm. and you talked about the Gentiles are seeking after these things, right? And he says, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Don't you think that, you know, the Lord has taken care of much smaller things in this world? But you are very precious to him. This is obviously me paraphrasing.
No, but it relates back to what we talked about last week, is provision flows out of who God is.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, it is foolish to worry and press for these things that perish.
Yes.
Because birds and flowers provide great examples of how God, who sees ahead and provides, takes care of these things.
Absolutely. So we're not saying that, oh, you shouldn't be thinking about your worldly needs or your day-to-day needs. On the contrary, if you have people you're responsible for, the Bible says that it is ungodly to not take care of those things. So we're not saying that these things are not important and these things are irrelevant. What we are saying is what Jesus is saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added onto you.
So the provision for those natural things are in my seeking his priority, making his priority my priority.
Yeah. It's like when we ride a bicycle. If you never move, you're never going to balance yourself.
Right.
And so we can
balance
spend our
forward motion.
That's right. We can spend all of this time like sitting on the saddle, putting our feet up. Well, this is not easy. Like, I don't know how people do this. Like, they seem natural at this. You know, I see people like just going, you know, enjoying their bicycles, and it's super easy, and they're texting and they're having a sandwich while they're riding a bicycle. Trust me, I know, I see them in the Netherlands, right? But if I, you know, if I never move, I'm never going to understand how the balance works. But a bicycle is designed to be upright only when it moves.
Yes.
And so that's a little bit of an analogy. It's very limited because, of course, the Word of God and the subject of how God wants to provide for us is a lot richer. But what I am saying is that, you know, our needs are a very easy thing for the Lord to provide for. And I don't mean to put anyone down who's currently struggling. You know,
this is on the contrary, that's why we're talking about this.
Yes. But you know, Philippians 4:19 says, and
let's look at that.
Yeah.
Philippians, a letter written to a church that actually encountered some challenge financially. As a church, they went through this, but they maintained. And you can go through this on your own and study. This is the Paul mentions the church in Macedonia when he's talking to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Yes.
The church in Philippi that's the capital city of Macedonia at the time. And he said that this church in Macedonia, they were in a state of great poverty, but they prioritized the purpose of God and they gave themselves out of poverty into abundance.
That's really good.
And you can read that for yourself, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it's about partaking of the grace, or what we talked about last week, the divine nature of God.
Yeah.
In Philippians 4, verse 19.
Should we start at 15, maybe?
Let's start in verse 10. I think chapter 1 is pretty good. Go ahead.
All right. Philippians 4, 15. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account.
Now let's just stop there. See, verse 16, Paul is reminding them about something that happened really years before. He said, after I was with you, I went to this city called Thessaloniki. It's another place in Greece, you know, down on the coast. And the people in Philippi who, I mean, they hadn't been a church for decades. They'd been a church for weeks. They took up money and they couldn't send it by wire transfer. So we're going to take up some money. We want to send this to Paul to help Paul while he's preaching there in Thessaloniki. But in order to do that, we got to now provide for a guy to take this to him. So we don't want you spending out of the money we're sending to Paul. So we got to spend extra money, transfer fee, you know? And Paul is reminding them, this is something that you did. No one made them do this. No, there's no commandment that said, thou shalt send money to Thessaloniki and help Paul preach the gospel there. They stirred themselves up and said, this is what Jesus is doing in the earth. I want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
Verse 17.
Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account.
That's an important point here, because many times when ministers talk about giving and money, people say, oh, they just want our money. Carrefour wants your money. Spinney's wants your money. It's why they turn the lights on. Like Paul says here, I'm looking for that which increases to your account.
Yes.
Paul was looking for what increased to the Philippians' account, not what benefited him. And this, you know, there are certainly people that have taken advantage of others and tried to use Bible verses to justify it. Paul actually addressed that. He said, there are some who have erred from the faith, thinking that being a servant of God is a way to get gain.
That's right.
And no one gets away with anything. But I refuse to let the bad actions of others dictate my destiny. And I won't partake in the harvest of a bad seed someone else has sown. So the truth is that spiritually, this fact is more related to the giver than the one who's receiving. Verse 18.
But I have received everything in full and have in abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God.
Sorry to keep interrupting you.
Oh, it's all good. That's why we're here.
But look at that. That sounds exactly like the definition of prosperous, or the definition of rich, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. What's he say? I have an abundance and am amply supplied. And then he adds this: what you have sent, which was finances, what you have sent, he calls a fragrant. Do you see that? A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He connects a very natural, gift.
Yeah.
They took this guy named Epaphroditus. They said, here's this bag. It's full of money. Don't drop it. Take this to Paul. They give it to Paul. Very natural. He's going to use it for natural things.
Yeah.
And then, but he says, this offering, and then he relates it to what we read about in Exodus and Leviticus, the instructions of making sacrifices to God. God told Moses, do it exactly this way. Build the tabernacle this way, but then offer the sacrifices this way. And part of those instructions were, let there always be this particular fragrant aroma. It was a mix of very precious, very expensive, actually, spices that couldn't be used for anything else, and to let those constantly be burning in the holy place as a fragrant aroma going up before the Lord.
Yes.
Now, Paul said to the church in Philippi, the offering, the very natural thing that you sent, the seeming perishable thing that you sent, has become that before the Lord. And this isn't the only place we see this. In Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we read about a Roman, a Gentile, named Cornelius.
Yep, his offerings, his giving and his prayers.
An angel.
Yeah.
An angel appears and says, Cornelius, you've given so much. The Lord said we have to do something at your house.
Yeah.
And so he sends Peter from a different country. He sends Peter on a far journey, gives him a vision, brings him there to his house, and then the Holy Spirit pours out on the Gentiles first there.
Yes.
Because his giving had went up as an offering.
Praise God.
And because of that, we come to verse 19.
Yeah, which is the easiest part.
Right.
Right? And it says this, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's almost, you can see that almost as a product.
His provision,
yeah,
comes from the place the fragrant aroma of my offering goes to.
That's really good. Praise God. Yeah.
I love the Word of God. He says, my God will supply all your needs. You know, I believe why Paul is so confident in that statement is because he knew God supplied his needs. I know God will supply your needs according to his riches because that's what he does for me.
Yeah.
The reason he does it for me is that's who he is. He is the provider.
Yes.
The Philippian church placed themselves within the purpose of God. It started way back when they helped Paul reach the city of Thessaloniki. Now, that's a precious seed. Think about it. We've talked about this before. Thessaloniki, from Thessaloniki, what happened? The word went and spread through that whole region. So the gift that Philippi, the church in Philippi, sowed to help reach the Thessaloniki, it actually affected the whole of the region.
Yes.
This church got themselves aligned with the purpose of God, regardless of the economic depression that they were in.
Yes.
And their very natural act, the very natural act of giving, the planning, the journey of Epaphroditus to, like, keep this safe.
Yes.
Like, what are you carrying? Not for you. To make it all the way to Paul. All of those natural things became this fragrant offering before the Lord. That's amazing.
That's right, yeah. Praise God. So, like you said, the provision flowed through the purpose.
Yes.
Right? And that's a pattern that we keep seeing on and on and on in Scripture. In fact, last week you talked about Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And I'd like to go there and read just a few verses.
Yeah. This is all about purpose.
Yeah. So verse 18 is, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." That's what we really spoke about last week. But if I look at verse 1, it says this: "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." So we see that the Lord has a purpose. So he doesn't start with the provision. He starts with the purpose.
He starts with the purpose. That's exactly right.
And even in the wilderness, like, they didn't go out into the wilderness to eat manna. Manna was falling out of the sky because that was God providing for them in the purpose of the Exodus and making their way to the promised land.
That's right.
So God's best was not the manna. God's best was the promised land.
And the provision provided a way to get them to purpose.
That's right. And so if I look at this verse, the Lord is saying that, you know, I want you to live and multiply and be fruitful,
yeah,
and increase and grow. And then he says, and go and possess the land. So I'm giving you something to do something. Now, if I give you this thing and you go there, then you're not going to need these, I don't want to say little things, but these things that I'm giving you, because you have so much more that I have prepared for you ahead of you. And so verse 8, if I look down at verse 11, it says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgment, his statutes, which I command you today." This is not a warning that, you know, oh, if you do something bad, the Lord's going to slap you on the wrist and take your toy away. This is, if you don't keep pursuing the purpose, you are not going to enjoy the fullness of what God has in store for you.
Exactly. And this is the parallel. This is a parallel instruction or a parallel truth to 1 Timothy 6.
Yes.
"Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God."
Yes.
Why? So that they are rich in good works.
That's right.
So that they're staying on purpose.
Yeah.
These truths repeat. The element here to focus on is that provision is related to purpose.
Yes.
Even in the natural, and I have I've worked for a period of time in finance, and we'd encounter people and they would say, I have this idea for a business, but I need this much money in order to make the business happen. And when I would hear that, I would always, I'd always recognize that's out of order. Because today, I'm not talking about in the church world or in the kingdom of God, I'm saying in the natural economy, money's full-time job is to find good ideas.
That's right, yeah.
It's like, that's all it's really looking for. Like, because money doesn't sit on tables in some, like, in a vault. It's out working.
Yeah.
And investment banks, these big investment houses, what are they doing? They're looking for a good idea. So in the natural, flow of the economy is chasing good ideas. In God's economy, his provision is chasing his purpose. So that's why if I'm just looking for my need, I just want enough to where I don't have to worry about anything and I can breathe for a little. I'm not interested in his purpose. I'm not pursuing his purpose.
But you know that what that sounds like from scripture? It sounds like people complaining, "I don't like this manna stuff anymore. Get me quail." It's like, hey, I don't want to give you neither manna nor quail. I want to give you a promised land.
Exactly.
Walk in.
Cities you didn't build. Vineyards you didn't
build. Right.
This is purpose.
There's so much more. Yeah. God's a big thinker.
God is a big thinker. And it starts with this statement here. I want you to possess. That's a verb.
Yes.
That's not a passive verb. It's an active verb, meaning you do it.
Yes.
You possess what? What's been provided for. You possess what's been provided for. You have to go and take it.
Yes. And then we can go and see, and you shall remember the Lord your God,
yes,
because it is he who gives you power to get wealth so that he would establish his covenant with
right.
you. So even the power to get wealth is for an establishing of covenant.
How much is here? I mean, there's so much truth here.
Yeah. Praise God. So I want to then ask this question. And this is, I don't want to ask my pastor, but I want to ask the viewers, but what is on your heart? You know, like, what is the purpose that God has put on your heart that he is willing to provide for you to get to and get through? And I think that's where, you know, we need to get out of wilderness thinking and get into promised land thinking.
Yeah, you made the comment that he is a large thinker.
Yes.
So there's a difference between large and big. I would say it this way. There's a difference between something that is great and something that is big.
Okay.
So sometimes great things, very often, we'll see great things become big. But what is significant is a great thing needs to be significant and weighty.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say what's in your heart or what's in your mind, if what's my primary focus is I want to get this bill paid because that's my pressure point. I am not demeaning that at all. I'm not taking anything away from the pressure that natural circumstances can apply. But he thinks bigger than that. Your example of, and I would encourage you to study this from Numbers, but your example of complaining about manna is right on, because the purpose was go in and possess a land that flows with milk and honey. So the answer to the immediate need is in the pursuit of his purpose.
That's well said.
And that's true for all of us.
Yeah. And so if my heart's not there, how can I enlarge my heart to start seeing the purpose rather than the immediate need? It's a question.
I mean, let's look at what the scripture says.
All right.
The answer to that should be, what does the Bible say?
Yes.
And Paul talks about this to the church in Corinth.
2 Corinthians?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, enlargement. And we won't take all the time I think we could here, just because we took some time on some other things. But verse 11, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. Verse 12, you are not restrained by us, but you're restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as children, open wide to us also. Now, this, Paul's actually applying a spiritual principle to a specific situation that deals with the Corinthian exchange. However, this, you can see here, Paul is contrasting enlarged or opened versus restrained or tight.
Yes.
And he's saying to the church in Corinth, you're in a place of being tight and restrained. And what's clear is they put themselves there.
Yes.
And only they can change. He said to you church in Corinth, open up. But he says here, he said, heart and mouth. Paul always is talking about heart and mouth, heart and mouth. Romans chapter 10, it's with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. He said, our mouth is opened, is speaking what? It's speaking the big purposes of God, the great purposes of God for you. Our heart is enlarged for you. Our heart is open for you. What is our heart? Our heart is wide open.
Yes.
With the big purposes, the great purposes of God for you.
Yes.
Now, you, church, make a change. You, church in Corinth, you open up. Open up what? Your heart. Open up your heart and start then opening up your mouth and see the great purposes of God for you and say the great purposes of God for you.
Praise God. That's really, really good. I would like to share a personal illustration, a testimony. And, you know, last time I had traveled to Lebanon, I spent a lot of time with you, Pastor Matt, because of course, there are things that I'm piecing together personally. I was based in Lebanon and I moved to the Netherlands. The Lord made it very clear that I'm not to leave Go Church Beirut specifically, but, you know, from Go Church Beirut, I'm to be increased. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, I wasn't sure what that meant. It took me a while to sit and digest and think through things. And the Lord kept speaking to me about you know, from scripture about what to do and how to think. And, you know, this is where talking about being open wide, every time a word from the Lord comes, you open wider. And that's what Psalm says. It says the entrance of your word gives light, right? What is that? Like if the word enters and gives light to a dark room, the room looks bigger. And you put more light in, it looks bigger. It looks bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the solution is to receive more words from the Lord, to be enlarged, to understand what he's doing. And so in my case, you know, I'm getting involved with the project. I'll spare the details. I don't want to get into that. But as I started talking through that with you, it started becoming clearer that I'm supposed to be involved with this and I'm supposed to pursue these things in a certain way. And it's maybe an area of ministry that I'm less familiar with, or, you know, is less obvious or easy to digest maybe. And the Lord actually reminded me of a word that he shared with me way back when I had left. And that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. And it says, you know, this is Paul speaking about himself, but I can see myself in that word. I know that the Lord shared that for me. And it says, according to the grace that was given to me, as a wise master builder, I lay a foundation and another man builds on it. And so I start to see my part. Start to see my part more clearly. And when I started to see my purpose and spend time thinking about it and enlarging my mind to what's already in my heart, in that same week, I had two very dear members of the Go Church family come up to me and say, listen, the Lord put on our heart that we want to be monthly partners with what you're doing. Like, they didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. But the Lord already put on someone's heart to partner with what he wanted me to do.
Yeah.
So like in a certain purpose, the Lord started bringing people to, like, you know, to represent his provision in my life. And so I see that, like, I see that from what we're talking about.
I'm really glad that you shared that. And the way that applies to all of us then is it starts with, how do I receive his provision? I receive his word.
Yeah.
It's not I make new connections. It's not I create a fabulous social media campaign or become, you know, a great at marketing what I want to do. No, I receive his word. That has an enlarging effect. I can't do it for you, but I can receive his word and get larger on the inside.
Yeah.
That word in my heart, I speak it out of my mouth. What happens? I go from a place of being restrained or tight into expanded and open. And it's in the open state, I'm in a place to receive his provision.
That's right.
This kind of brings me to the place that I really want us to dig into in our grow groups, and that is we can be tempted to think that God's miraculous provision is going to, like, fall on our head and, you know, just out of nowhere. And thank God for suddenlies. But what we actually see in scripture is it begins with what's in our heart, what's in our house, and what's in our hand. And we'll look at this from 2 Kings, but the way God is going to provide for us is not limited to us. But there is that covenant element. It begins, we saw it with Abraham. We talked about that last week in Genesis 22. It starts with us doing something with what we have. Luke 16, Jesus said, what you have now, what you're doing with what you have now, is exactly what you would do if you had more.
Yeah, and that's the Lord treating us like covenant partners.
That's right.
And yeah, sorry to cut you.
No, no. Go ahead. And yeah. So in saying that, the story we maybe won't get to in the grow groups is Nehemiah, but the Nehemiah story is really to me, very dear for the vision of Go Church, what we're called to do here in Lebanon. But in the heart of the story of Nehemiah is the purpose of God that is just hilariously impossible for Nehemiah to accomplish.
Yeah.
He gets this vision from God with seemingly no way to do it.
So if anyone's not read Nehemiah before, just to share a little bit of context, and Pastor Matt, please add, because you know you're a history buff, but like just to explain, Nehemiah, the book was written at a time when Israel had actually been taken into exile by Babylon. And they were effectively slaves or servants, enslaved under a nation, no longer in their hometown. So, I mean, actually, they were taken out of Jerusalem. The town was completely pillaged, burnt, totally destroyed. They were taken into Babylon. During their time in Babylon, the Persian Empire actually overthrows the entire Babylonian Empire. So now they become the slaves of the Persians. And we actually see an overlap of the stories of Ezra, of Daniel, during that 70-year window. Was it 70 years?
Yes.
Around 70 years. And so we see what happens at that point in time where it seems bleak. I mean, everything that you were taken out of was completely destroyed. Your people are enslaved, beaten down. Not only were you subject to one empire, but now you're subject to another empire, which is seemingly worse than the last empire. And that's where Nehemiah finds himself in, right?
And Nehemiah was not a merchant or an influential politician.
Yeah.
His job was to taste wine before the king does. So if someone is trying to poison the king, you poison Nehemiah first. And this is like the definition of being expendable. Your skill is to die before. And so that's who God chooses. But the provision please read it, because it's amazing, because the emperor, he said, oh, this is in your heart to do. This is the vision that you have. I'm going to fund it. And he writes what we would recognize today as a letter of credit. An open letter of credit, not even a standby letter of credit.
Yeah.
If you know the difference. An open letter of credit means that you can draw on it you can draw on it in advance.
Yes.
And an open letter of credit for everywhere. And the Persians had control of all the land leading up to what had been Jerusalem.
Yes.
And so they could draw on any material asset that belonged to the empire for the purpose of reconstituting the wall and the city of Jerusalem.
So I want to say it this way, that the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt first in the heart of Nehemiah.
That's exactly right.
Before the provision ever came. That's right.
He got expanded on the inside. And then this unthinkable solution,
can I read it?
I can't. Yeah. I just can't imagine Nehemiah was like, you know what? I wonder if I ask the king.
Yeah. So it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, and this is Nehemiah speaking. Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I pray to the God of heaven. I like that. It's a one-liner right there in the middle of a conversation with the king. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him. So just in case the king changes his mind. No, he's not, because the real boss is talking. Right. You know? How long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. Protection. and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the regions beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. So it's not only that he received just material provision, but he received people to help him along the way. He received letters that gave him free passage. He had, the king probably sent carts along with Nehemiah to take all the resources that he needs to the city. And then he gave him free rein, protection, and time, which I think time is also a very important resource.
Yes.
You know, if you have everything you need except time, you're going to get nothing done.
That's right.
And so that's the first thing we see. It says that, you know, okay, Nehemiah set a time and the king gave him that time. So it's just astounding to see that the King Artaxerxes just gave him a letter, gave him favor, gave him everything he needed. Oh, that's on your heart. Go for it. And that is miraculous provision.
It's absolutely miraculous, because this guy is not held up in history as being a great humanitarian.
Right. And we see throughout scripture in chapter 5, it talks, Nehemiah talks about how other governors were devoted to themselves, but Nehemiah was only devoted to the work of the Lord.
Yes.
And him being devoted to the work of the Lord is what got him through to the finish line.
Yes.
And so when we hook up with the purpose of God, the provision is free-flowing and stays free-flowing, because we're in the right place to keep using it and increasing in it.
That's really good. And I want to encourage you, let these truths sit on the inside of you and adopt God's large thinking. You know, be expanded on the inside. Let your words begin to reflect that expanded inside. Stop seeing things so small and tight, but look at the big picture that God has for you, because he has a plan for you. And if you made it this far and no one else has told you, we want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. God bless you.